that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. Hip hip hooray for Christmas vacation.
This morning, we get to continue this series, Jesus and the Griswolds, and we continue with Rusty. You know, we've talked about, you know, Clark. We've talked about Cousin Eddie, of course, but today we get a character that's kind of unknown, right? A character that's not well known in the movie, didn't have a ton of speaking parts, and I wanted to relate that to those that are kind of here in the room, but also outside of the room, that are the teenagers, just like Rusty, right? You're there, and you get the job of untangling the lights. You're there, and you're half helpful, half annoyed, right? Me and Grayson were up on the roof. It was Friday? Was it Friday? And so we're up there Friday, and I'm like, okay, Grayson, I'm going to go down and get some lights, and we set up the ladder, got everything ready. And I was like, while you're up here, why don't you just scoop all the leaves out of the gutters and make sure they're nice and clean? And so I go and climb down the other side, and I'm going and I'm turning, and I round up the lights, and I had them all laid out in the front yard, ready to go with the extension cords, and I loop them around my arm and get ready. And all of a sudden, I turn and I see him doing the gritty up on the roof. I'm like, what is going on? Like, Grayson, focus. There's leaves that need to come out of the gutters, right? There's like this engagement that is half there, right? And that's kind of what Rusty's walking through, right? He's there to help Dad, but it's not always that helpful. It's a little bit annoyed. He loves his family, right? Like, Rust is there, and he's ready to get the hammer to, like, beat the squirrel, right? But he also wants to disappear into the basement, but he's still keeps showing up. Even though Clark is a walking fire hazard, Rusty still follows him up the ladder, still helps with the lights, still believes in the mission. And that's a little bit more of what we're going to talk today, right? Because I believe that faith is something that's more caught than taught. And to help us unpack that idea, I actually have a second chair up here because I want to bring up a man who's spent the last 4 years as our next gen director here at Innovation. Can you help me welcome Jordan Myrick to the stage? His wife made him outdress me today. He had a different outfit, I hear, picked out, and Chrissy was like, nope, you're not doing that.
It was a dabbing Santa.
Well, sorry we couldn't sit closer and around the table today, but we're kind of around the baptismal today. And so with Jordan here, though, and as in the position that he served, I felt like today was a great way to bring him up on stage and let him speak into this very thought, because in his years of leading the next generation, he's seen these things. He's been over Innovation Kids. He's been helping out and over in Fuego with Innovation Youth, and been engaged in summer camp after summer camp, and in winter camps, in retreats, in concerts, and everything in between. And so, Jordan, just with that, like, faith is more caught than taught. Like, how have you seen that maybe in your own lives? And with your own little darlings that are here today, yeah. And how much have you seen kids or the next gen absorb from the adults around them, both good and bad?
Oh, so much. Just some of the things you don't even realize what they're absorbing, right? Like, we always say kids are like sponges. Sometimes they absorb the wrong things, but luckily we can wring them out and sometimes restart with that. But you know, there are a lot of things that came to mind, but there was a movie way back, the Clint Eastwood movie, but I think of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, right? Like, but what they truly absorb the most that I've witnessed is when we're going through the good, the bad, and the ugly, it's those three things on how we're actually handling it. It's not always the decisions we make in those ugly decisions, it's what we leaned on to get through those things. Like, when the good is happening, are we praising Jesus for every moment of that, right? When the bad is happening, praising Jesus, speaking Jesus all the time. And as a parent and an adult growing up in this world, that's really hard. Sometimes to keep it cool, to keep it down. But, I mean, to absorb, they're just like a little mini version of you. And the things that they absorb sometimes are what you are also truly showing to the world, too. I mean, I love my son, my little man, Jax. Boy, he follows me because let me tell you, I do a lot of singing, if you guys don't know me. I like music. I do a lot of singing. And Jax does it, too. He just bursts out and starts dancing and singing and all that. But Jax doesn't always know that sometimes that's not the level of volume or what is needed in the area at times. And sometimes a little quiet and a little respect is needed in the area where needed, but he's just unhinged and having a good time. And there's things that we try to help them understand and walk through, and they pick up things. I mean, even my daughter Zoe is another huge example for me because she has watched me run businesses, food trucks, be my own owner and all that. And let me tell you, she is a headstrong leader who likes to clash a lot with family and at home because of that headstrong leader. We have those things that kind of develop as they absorb, but we must continue to watch them and keep walking with them to understand how to grow in that. And we learn a lot about ourselves, too, I feel. And then Mila, my other daughter, Mila, well, she's still working on it. She just gets to be cute right now. So you get that part of your life, you just get to be cute and do that. But, man, just the amount they keep watching. And the hardest part is there are times where I think, okay, my kids will definitely watch me do this. And I'm going to do this so well so they know how to do it. And then I turn around and they're catching butterflies outside, not paying to a single thing I'm doing. So sometimes it's just the result that they sometimes too absorb too. But yeah, it's exciting to see how they handle their faith and how they view you and your faith, because we know the Bible says faith like a child. And I love that just because I love looking in the eyes of the kids and what they're experiencing. And just even this morning, the nervousness of Jax, my son, getting baptized and just seeing him so excited and giddy. I can feel that. And it's just exciting to see.
Well, what we've done in this series is we've taken the different characters and we've related them to different characters in the Bible. So the movie characters, kind of with the family tree of Jesus. And not to show that those people are perfect. Actually, we see plenty of them are flawed. But one common theme is we see people after God's own heart. In fact, the character that we look at today, and kind of the background of the story, is Israel has a king, and he's named Saul. He's very tall, he's very dark, he's very handsome, right? He's very impressive. He's what everybody thinks a leader should be. In fact, he was picked based off of what he looked like. But over time, his character fell apart. Pride took over, and he stopped listening to God, and God told the prophet Samuel that was no longer going to be the king. It was time for a new king. But instead of just moving on through the lineage, because more was caught than taught, he had to go outside of the family because the traits that were already embedded into that family. And so Samuel, he's the prophet of the time, and he had this assignment from God. And so God sends him to Bethlehem to meet a man named Jesse, and one of Jesse's sons would be the next king. So Samuel shows up, and Jesse does what any dad would do. He's all proud of all of his sons, and so he lines them up. And many of you have heard this story, but Eliab steps forward first, right? The oldest, the tall, the strong, the leader, right? He's the one. And Samuel even thinks to himself, this has to be the one. But in Samuel 16:7, we see God's response. The people judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Pretty much God telling him what maybe he's telling us today. What's on the outside? What's on the outside? That outward appearance? If you're looking out that at the outside, make sure and look deeper. But there's a lot more that's going on deeper. Picking by the outside appearance didn't work the last time when they picked Saul, and so why would it work this time? And then after going all the way down the line, going through seven sons, and none of them are chosen, Jesse says, Samuel asks, is this all there is? And Jesse said, well, there's this one more out in the field. out with the sheep. In walks David, a teenager, overlooked, unexpected, and God says, that's the one. That's him. See, many of us, we judge many times ourselves. We judge others by the talent, by the personality, by the image, by the performance. But God is looking for who we really are. Looking for the character, looking for the humility, looking for the faith, looking for the sincerity. And I would dare say that our kids are looking for that as well. That no matter how polished we are on the outside, it was so great to see even the football teams that won and the football teams that lost over this past few days, right? And but when I saw one of my favorite quarterbacks that doesn't ever get to play, he's the backup for the Chicago Bears, Tyson Bagent, and he's there at the game, and they pass him his newborn daughter from the stands. That newborn daughter doesn't care about the jersey, doesn't care about the $1 million of contract, just cares that daddy's there holding her. That's one of the major things that we got to keep in mind. That many times we'll even judge ourselves by the pinnacles that we reach, by the talent that we have, by the performance. But God didn't choose David for any of those things. He chose him for his authenticity. And so, Jordan, you've watched students for years, and what would you say? Do they respond more to perfection or an authenticity?
Oh, that's pretty easy, authenticity. I can think of so many events that I strived so hard to make perfect. And then when you follow up with the kids, what they actually got from it. What I was thinking I needed to really land wasn't even what landed in the kids. It was all the Spirit. It was all God-led. It filled them, and he used me, and I give him all that glory. But I remember when perfection was my goal, and in a kitchen, that was my goal every time. And it actually created something really harsh. It created something in my kid that if she did make a mistake or they did make a mistake, she punished herself. And that perfection that I kept going, and when I punished myself, boy, it just went right, followed into my kids so quickly. I had to show something different. I had to be authentic. And that was one of the first kids event I ever did. I dressed up as a mad scientist. I had a wig, whole thing, and I had a play written out, and I had been practicing the play. But this is the first time I've done it, and I hadn't let go of Red Bulls yet, so I was definitely on too many Red Bulls to try to keep energy up with the kids. And during that play, I pretty much blacked out. I froze, just froze with a big, ugly wig on, just being a scientist, and I just started being goofy, crazy. I couldn't remember anything at all. And I thought, and I got done with it, and I thought, that was ridiculous. That I'm never going to be able to do this again. This is my one and done event. I just can't get it done. This was so awful. And then on top of it, we were able to join with another church. So we had multiple churches at this event with multiple other leaders, and I made quite the fool of myself. So I thought. But actually, all those mistakes and all that are what the kids carried on and thought was hilarious. They thought it was hilarious how I acted and all that. And all the other leaders had poured into them and prayed that every one of them took a little bit of the gospel with them. And it was just shocking to me that even my wife sat there and was like, dude, this isn't the kitchen, man. Just show up. Show up and show them just how to handle certain things. As I sit across from a Bears fan, and yes, Rusty, also I rolled because he was a Bears fan. I mean, that's a rough life. I know. I'm a Cowboys fan. We haven't seen a victory either, but we both won this past week. But we're raising our kids to be that, to handle loss is actually what I say.
That's right.
Because my son did ask me, and he goes, a couple years ago, he goes, why don't we root for the Chiefs? It's a lot more exciting. They win. They win the Super Bowl. It's really exciting. It's because we got to stick to what we are and have faith. Have faith that maybe in another 10 to 20 years, the Cowboys might actually win a Super Bowl. I don't know, but we're going to hold on to it. So I think it's really important to, when you show up for those kids, to be authentic. But when you're struggling through that, use Jesus to shine. And I love Bluey for this, because when I'm working on my car, I would always tell my kids to stay away from me for just certain issues that might happen and language that could come out. But I have taught myself to say biscuits and butter and food ingredients a lot more to where they can sit there and watch me struggle, frustrated, and get help from other people. And that, to me, is another part of it. Sometimes we use our phones too much to get the answers that our kids think the phones have all the answers. When there are people around us that have done those things and all that, and one of the most exciting things I got to do is my little one got to meet someone who helps me with running vehicles and just walking in this life. And instead of looking online, I called him. Called him and showed how other people are so much more helpful and so much more exciting to walk this earth than just looking up directions on a phone.
See, our kids are going to see us lose it. I mean, right? You saw your parents lose it. You've lost it probably under the hood of a Prius. It happens, right? Rusty sees Clark blow up. Rusty sees everything go nuts. He sees Clark almost electrocute himself. But he sticks with him because he knows his dad's heart. Right, we get to see a moment in the movie. If you haven't watched it, that same QR code. If you text the word "vid angel" through that, it gets you a code where you can bleep out. You're probably going to miss half the movie, but it cleans up the movie for you and gets a nice little filter on there. But Rusty sticks with him because he knows his dad's heart. His dad just wants to have that perfect family Christmas. He wants to have everybody over. He wants to have that perfect Christmas. And kids don't need perfect parents. They don't need parents who never fail. They just need parents who never fake it, who don't do one or say one thing and do another, right? Parents that can admit their failures. Jordan, in these years, are there moments where you've seen students connect with a leader just because that leader was real?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's up there right now, but I don't know if you guys all know Big Jim Douglas. I call him Tiny. He's our tiny giant. That big man went to camp with multiple kids, and let me tell you, I think I sat on that porch watching him just be a kid himself and walk with them so much. Even so that our group accepted some kids that came by themselves and didn't have a church. And one of the things that I loved about Jim, not only did it connect with every one of our kids and get them bathed remotely and keep their clothes together because camp gets a little crazy, but we were able to accept a young boy named Peter, and every year we look for him. And he looks for Jim, and he's so excited for him every year. And Jim Jim just looks at me and goes, "I'm literally just getting up and making sure they're all with me, counted for, and alive." And I said, "Well, that's enough, man." And let me tell you, every one of them talks about him and that cabin and how he handled it. And Jim looks at me and goes, "Oh, I felt like all I did was yell at them or just get them to point A to point B." And if you talk to any kids that go to camp or whatnot, especially the little ones, they'll tell you a story about Jim. And my heart is with Jim. He came up and started helping with me in the classroom, and he just loved it. And it was great to see him light up in those classrooms and all that. But I also came to mind as I was sitting there, as we still pick up things too from the elders. We still pick up things from the older generations too. And I'm going to give a big thank you to even Frank right here in the front row, because 8 years ago, I was scared to sing or worship. I didn't want to make any noise. I didn't want to be heard. And I met a man named Frank. And Frank went through a journey that is amazing, and you should talk to him about that. But now Frank, even without a voice, is still the loudest and best worshiper, in my opinion. My opinion. My opinion. It's my opinion. But he single-handedly helped me grow just by watching what he does too. And we are always on display for even every generation.
See, it's Psalms 78, verses 4 through 7, and I believe we got it here on the screen. And it says, "We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. Then each generation will set its hope anew on God." I went ahead and made the opposite version, right? It's on the next slide, the kind of the anti-Psalms 78, 4 through 7. We won't tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. So then each generation will set its hope on a new God. Isn't that what happens when we don't live out the scriptures? When we're not the ones setting forth the example, when we're not the ones living it out, when we're not the ones like Big Jim that would probably have loved to be in the room to hear that pat on the back, but he's up there surrounded probably by about 30 kids right now. Being one that wants to live this out. Instead of saying, oh, somebody else will do that. See, God's plan is simple. Tell the story. Don't hide it. Don't not polish it, but pass it on. That the next generation needs authentic faith. Not perfection, not a perfect performance. Jordan, how powerful is it when families simply share God's stories together throughout the week? When it's not just Sunday mornings, but when it turns into a daily part of their lives. You've seen, I know you've passed out plenty of memory verse cards and take it home sheets and for year after year after year, you've seen the ones that get it. But when is it the things that they watch, the things that they wear, the things that they listen to, how does that help shape and mold who they become?
Oh, it's extremely powerful. And some of those things that they have out there are just meant to grab the kids' attention and pull them away from certain things. Not hating on any shows, but we watched a show twice and somehow my little daughter can sing every word of that song just like that. But as soon as we go on to the gospel and we focus on the devotions and all that, I can see her attitude change. It's really hard unless you sit there and watch it. And I don't want to say I experimented with my kids, but I kind of did a little. With letting them get on tablets and changing and doing devotions and then not doing devotions and seeing kind of how it affects them. And it's almost like, it's really hard because once they start diving into it, they almost start to welcome the darkness. They welcome the alone time. They welcome shutting off the world and being in their own little controlled world on these devices that sometimes happen. And then when they're able to just do it alone, it's really easy to just keep pushing people away, become really short, really hard on people who just actually just want to love on them and show them a good time. Just be with them and walk, find out what's going on. And it's difficult. It's difficult to stay on that path. Me and Chrissy, and I'm not saying anything, but we fight all the time to put something else on that we want to watch, minus what the kids always want to watch. But it's really hard to find things that we want to explain to our kids at a later age. Right now, we just want them to be kids. So we try to focus on giving them that joy and not be sucked into that darkness, because all of that sacrifice that you may be feeling, you're losing time or whatnot, it's all for an eternal reward. And that's where we're pointing them to. And that's why the sacrifices are worth it. That's why it's okay to fight the battle of, yeah, I'm going to teach my kid how to play Yahtzee. And yeah, that can be hard. But when you take the time to play the board games and just be with them, they go and are able to handle conflict so much better, and especially when you show them how to handle losing or how to handle winning and doing those things. It's very rewarding to keep an eye on them. But if you let the world teach your kids, the world will get a grip on them, and it's going to get a good grip. And I grew up with that grip on me.
Yeah, I know. I lost 3 games of Monopoly this weekend. It was ridiculous. To Luna.
She's skimming money.
I know. But this faith at home, I don't think it's... Is it always, oh, we always have to have worship music on? Oh, we always have to be quoting scripture? I don't think it has to be that. It can be. And that is great when that becomes the normal in your house. But could it just be that real faith apologizes? When we mess up, when we do things that are wrong, that we admit it, even as parents. That real faith is consistent. You mentioned showing up. And the fact that many of you showed up today, or many of you are showing up if you couldn't get out of the house online, and you're saying, no, this is who we are. This is what we do. It's been a pleasure of mine for I don't know, 8-10 years now, that every time we go on an after Christmas vacation, we're typically gone the Sunday after Christmas. My mom got a timeshare decades ago over in Branson, and so we're able to go there, and we have specific churches. Actually, we try to binge on churches, and so we'll find a Saturday night one, a Sunday early morning, Sunday mid-morning, and even a Sunday afternoon one. It's a whole blast, and our kids are like looking forward to it, and oh, we get to go to the Castle Church this time, and oh, we get to go to here, and we get to go to here, and they even know that just because we're gone doesn't mean we're skipping out, that this is who we are, that we show up, and so many of you found ways to show up today. Some of you showed up to cheer others on, right? To see others go public with their faith. You showed up because it's a moment that is going to last a lot longer than a baseball game or a volleyball game or the little trophy that breaks before you get home, right? Real faith shows up. It shows up in prayer. It shows up in worship. It shows up in serving. Aubrey Reich recently joined the nursery team, and we have people that they text in, they scan the QR code, and they type the word serve because they're interested in being a part of what makes Innovation Church actually happen. And when she signed up, she put in one of the little boxes. She asked, "Can my children serve with me?" And we said, "Heck yeah, all right, let them see you serve." That's why this room's about to get a lot more crowded as they make their way down to see baptism, because they know that it's time. Let them see you serve. One of the biggest differences in my life was following along with my dad when he said, "Come, let's jump in the truck and let's go." And I was like, "Where are we going?" He was like, "You'll see." And all it was to, in the middle of the night or in the middle of the cold temperatures or in the middle of sometimes even him working on his own projects, was to go fix somebody else's water heater, to fix somebody else's pool pump, to work on somebody else's house, even when our own house needed some of its own repair. I didn't see a man that was perfect by any means, but one that was willing to serve others, and is one of the main reasons I'm here even to this day. See, real faith depends on God. When they see us relying on God, when they see us trusting in God doing what only He can do. I remember even sitting down with Billy and Charity when I was on second shift, and it was hurting. Some of you second shifters, you know, it can hurt that family dynamic, that family rhythm and the relationships, for we're being broken, and the disciplines that we had in place were falling to the wayside. And for almost 3 months, every night as I'd put them down, we'd pray and put them to bed. And we started adding for Daddy to be able to get off second shift. And they prayed with me. And week, day after day, week after week, even month after month, just after 9 weeks of us praying that prayer, I got to walk in one day and celebrate that we had 3 more weeks left. Because God had heard and answered our prayers. Trust me, bring them along in your faith journey. Sometimes I think God hears their prayers even more than ours. But let God show up and show off for you and for your kids so that they can see how you're trusting God. And even when He doesn't come through, sometimes the way that we want Him to, let them be a part of that journey. Jordan, as we get ready to close here, what's one habit, as the band gets ready and reminds us that we're building our lives, and what we're building our lives for is so that other generations can see what's one habit that you've seen make a difference in a student's spiritual life.
You know, I've seen a lot of different things. I'm going to have to give camp a shout out because Camp Hickory, when we go there with both the youth and the kids, it is just a huge growth. For the kids, for your relationship with the kids, and just giving them a space to feel God, His presence, grow in faith, and work through things that might be going on that you aren't able to. Things that might be going on in school that you're afraid to talk about. It is a huge change. And that was something that really, really helped me take that just step towards the kids even more, to just have that faith that even though I don't feel like I'm doing much, it's moving mountains because God has it and he's doing what he needs to do. And having those kids do that when they find out in those tough situations what they can lean on or who they can go to. That's why I'm not trying to ploy to join a team or anything, but I mean, anytime I say I'm going to the church, my little girl is just so excited, even though all I'm doing is work. But she knows this place is fun. She knows this place has people who love her and love God and love Jesus and try to reflect that. So she's always excited to come. And we have to make sure we get up and show that we're excited to come too. Because if we start belly aching, they'll quickly pick up on that belly aching too. And it won't even be about what they can get. But being just present and just always giving it to Jesus and bringing him up has changed so much in my family. It was something I never had growing up. And I am honored to instill it and keep showing the love of the gospel and to Jesus to many generations so that they have something to lean on when it gets hard in this world, when we lose people, when we have to say goodbye, when we do lots of struggles. But having that foundation early and knowing who is there to talk to those things, it just helps. It helps them be that next generation that God wants us to teach. And it has just been so much and so important to me. And I thank God for letting me see that, because I was a selfish chef in my young 20s. And I am so grateful for the Lord.
It's true that our kids will model what we magnify. What we make the most important thing, they're going to make the most important thing. That our good and our bad habits will become their defaults. And that our walk with God becomes their expectation of God. As a church, we're shifting gears in 2026. We've done it a lot through this series. Actually, on the 21st, in just a couple weeks, 3 weeks, right? Hopefully it's not snowing, but in 3 weeks, we're going to push through. We're going to be here, unless those like red flag warnings and stuff keep us away. But like we make sure and stay devoted to this and show up, because we want to be people that show up, not just for ourselves to continue our growth, but also for the next generation. But on the 21st, we have our kids are actually taking over the service. And they're going to show us what Christmas is truly all about, just in case we focused a little too much on the Griswolds. But they may show up a little bit dressed like the Griswolds and be pointing us in the direction of what it's all about. We're excited for that to come in the next few weeks. But also, as we move forward, as we step into 2026, We're doing things on our side to help the spiritual conversations not be rare, to amplify them even more. And so what we'll be talking about in here is going to be talked about in the nursery, is going to be talked about in the pre-K, is going to be talked about, I don't know if you noticed last week, but everybody's carrying around burning bushes as we talked about Moses. That's because we're learning through some of the same stories, and we're going to be amplifying the same stories all throughout. That's why we're doing even the Advent like family calendar that you can talk through and discuss as you go through and as we build into this Christmas season, so that we can all be on the same page, so that families can not only learn about, but also talk about God together, so that the ride home can become a discipleship lesson, So that bedtime becomes discipleship, because dinner time becomes discipleship, because the whole family learning the same truth, the same story, the same God, side by side. Jordan's been a part of that over the past 4 years. He's been a part of training up, and he's still a part of that even as his role shifts in the coming weeks and months. And while he's been a direct hand a part of that, he's sharing the wealth with others and sharing the opportunity with others. For 4 years, him and Chrissy have poured into our kids. They poured into our students. They poured into our team and our church with both joy, humility, and a whole lot of snacks. He's prayed for our students. He's shown up during the hard moments, and he's celebrated the wins. He's planted seeds that even are why some people will be in this baptismal today. And so today, we also announce that he's stepping into a new season and following what God's calling him to, what's next for him. He's in his, as we talked about, Abraham and Sarah at the beginning of this series. He's in that moment of trusting God. He's talked a lot about cooking today, and he was in a lot of that cooking realm and stepped out of it to be with us. And God's calling him back into it to use those gifts as a part of his ministry. And so while we're not sure what height that's going to take him into and what new season that God has for him, we know that he's right now faithfully holding out the baton for the next person that God will call to be both Innovation Kids Director and or separate Youth Director, and help lead teams of people that will invest into the next generation. So if you're interested about those, you can see me, you can text the word Next Gen to that same QR code. But Jordan has carried it well, and he hands it off with honor today. So as a church, can we thank him? Can we appreciate him? Any last words? Church, would you extend your hands and pray over Jordan as these little ones come up? Oh, they took the wrong aisle. Sorry about those knees. Jordan, would you come? Chrissy, would you come and stand with him? I know you've been hiding behind the scenes. And so, thank you for dressing him well this morning. You guys can squeeze in. Church, would you stretch your hands? Kids, would you stretch your hands, and let's pray over Mr. Jordan and Chrissy right now. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for them. God, I thank you for the Myrick family. I thank you for the late nights, the prayers, the messages, the energy drinks, the consumption, the health battles that they've gone through, every moment that they've invested into the next generation. Thank you for the seeds that they've planted that will continue bearing fruit for decades. God, as they enter this new season, God, we pray a blessing over them. God, we pray that you would lead them each and every step of the way, that you would strengthen them, that you would fill them with clarity and joy, and raise up the right people in your timing to carry the baton forward. God, we bless Jordan and Chrissy Myrick today. And we bless the future of the next generation of innovation. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh, Santa's on his way. Hip hip hooray for Christmas vacation.